News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Want to text the show or call the show? You can certainly do that. Either one you want, 251-343-0106. We are here for you. Among the things you can text us about would be some traffic issues, which there are some on 65 southbound right now.
Well, yeah, Cheese Wagon says
there was.
Yeah, Cheese Wagon let us know that crash 65 at Dauphin now clear.
Okay.
So that's one. Daphne, you guys are going to be dealing with some, not that traffic hasn't already been a headache over the last few years, but with that road work going on in Daphne, 181 has been backed up these last few days, and it seems it'll stay that way through this three-month process.
Yep.
So, tough luck out there. Also, later this hour, we'll talk with Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap. He'll let us know what he's been writing about here recently, and we'll talk some state and local issues. But that reminds me, voting opened for the Nappy Finals yesterday. VoteNappies.com and FM Talk 106.5 would really appreciate your vote. We're in a number of categories here this year, like we are seemingly every year, but a new one. I really want to encourage you, if you don't vote for anything else, best local Facebook page. Leanna has been working her tail off for years and years and years, populating our Facebook page with all kinds of great information.
Yeah, most of it local, too, stuff that you can really relate to.
And we are up for best local Facebook page. So, again, if you don't vote for anything else, vote for that. And she's up against some tough ones there, including Mobile Alabama World Star 251, which is they have quite a few over there. But we would really appreciate your votes. Also up for best radio station, best DJ team, Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig up for that, along with Mike and Stu from Sip and Chew. We don't have to talk about their entry. No, I'm just joking. Vote for me and Dan or Mike and Stu.
Yeah.
Best morning show, us, okay. Mobile Mornings. Best talk radio host show. This is where we really start to get after one another here at the office. I'm up. You're up for that. Jeff's up for that. And Sean Sullivan's up for that vote as well.
You're up for one individually, too.
Yeah, so Sean and I made it into the best overall radio personality finals. Nice. And best radio lifestyle segment, Law 251 with Tobias Comer.
Well, it's kind of yours too.
It is. Best sports radio show, Prep Sports Report. Vote for them. Absolutely love the guys, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and they do a great job every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And the Paul Feinbaum show up for that as well. So we would really appreciate your votes at votenappies.com. That finals voting officially now underway.
Give Paul a little love for what he does with us in the fall, because we have Football Fridays brought to you by Brian Bank. And I'll tell you, what you maybe don't quite know when you listen to that segment, sometimes it's like Paul has just gotten off ESPN or just off the SEC network, and he goes out of his way to make sure, and he'll spend as much time as we want to talk to him, you know, if it's 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he's up for it. He's a good guy.
Sometimes he goes right from talking, if you want to call it talking, having a conversation with Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
straight to us, which is kind of funny to me.
It's happened before, yeah. So Paul is no ego. He takes care of our area and takes care of me and Dalton in a big way.
And want to get into also, of course, the storm damage, terrible in Mississippi, and then the drama in Montgomery due to storms yesterday as well. But I want to pay this off and get some more on the text line, some more responses to this. I talked about this pitcher for the Cubs, Matthew Boyd. Just a year older than me, 35. He has kids just like me, but he's going to have surgery and be out for some time because he was playing with his kids yesterday morning and tore his meniscus. He'll be out for some time. They think they'll get him back for the end of the year. But that had me thinking once I read that story about all of the times that my dad or grandpa were injured trying to play with my brother and I, whether it was basketball or we had this game we just loved, and I don't know if the kids still play it or not, but we called it pickle, and it was basically like getting caught in a rundown on the baseball field between bases.
Right. Your lead's too big off first base. Mm-hmm. They throw it to first. Now you've got to figure out somehow to get out of it, right?
Yeah, in a way, it's like monkey in the middle.
Yeah.
You're trying to get to that base before you get tagged out. And my dad suffered several foot and ankle injuries over the years, thanks to us sliding into him or pickle stepping injuries. On him. Or, yeah, some pickle injuries. The worst I can remember, though, my grandpa, who was a friggin' oak of a man. I mean, tough dude. I've never met anyone tougher. And we were out at Myrtle Beach for a family vacation trying to boogie board out in the water, my brother and I. But we weren't very tall, so we couldn't get good push to boogie all the way down to the beach.
So it was his job to give you the shove.
He was shoving me, and my dad was shoving my brother, and he snapped his big toe trying to get the torque going in that sand under the water to push me to shore. One of the more gruesome injuries I can remember. And I asked, you know, have you been injured playing with the kids, or when you were a kid yourself, any bad injuries to family members just trying to have a good play with you? Charles, listen to this. He said, bounce house injury. Several beers prior to a bounce party, I told the kids to watch me do a backflip. I did the backflip.
Yeah.
I did not stick the landing. Mm. Rolled left ankle and snapped. Tore left MCL.
In a bounce house.
In a bounce house. But, Charles, I bet you looked awesome doing that backflip until the landing. So, if you have any more.
Well, the landing
those,
is part of it. You know, it's the overall score.
Some would say the most crucial part.
Charles would.
Yeah, so if you have any stories like that, I'd love to hear them on the text line, 251-343-0106.
I wasn't injured in this incident, but did I? I guess I told you about the time that I was playing baseball and the kid had been picking on me and he was on deck and I just, he's in the on deck circle and I just said, well, this is the time that we.
You crossed home plate, right?
Yeah, I scored from like second base on a, and as I'm running in, this guy had been like giving me just a miserable time. You know, kids will pick on somebody until it stops.
Yeah.
And so as I'm crossing home plate, I'm thinking, there he is. He had a bat in his hand. And I just went, it's disrupted the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
You had just scored a run. And
I just scored a run.
Fighting it out with the teammate.
Attacked the guy with a bat in his hand. And remember one of my brothers telling me, Danny, you people don't think you're tough. They think you're crazy. So you need to stop that. I'm like, okay, that's fair. Anyway, I think he was more injured than I was, even though he was the one carrying the bat.
Yeah, that's too good. 251-343-0106. On a much more serious note, let's get into this storm damage in Mississippi.
It's terrible. I talked to a friend in Jackson, outside of Jackson. He said Brookhaven got hit pretty good. I guess that's a suburb of Jackson. But most of the damage seemed to be closer to Hattiesburg and closer to the state line.
We have an initial assessment from Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves now this morning. 275 homes and 50 apartment units damaged or inaccessible in Lamar County. 30 roads closed due to debris. The county shelter and safe room is open. More than 200 homes were damaged in Lincoln County. I think much of that coming from a trailer park there. Where, if you've seen any footage this morning, I'm sure you're seeing images from that specific area.
Yeah, that's the one they're showing.
Even for that, the Cajun Navy has deployed a 50-person shelter pod, 30-kilowatt generator, and 10 pallets of supplies. Again, thank the good Lord for the Cajun Navy and the work they do. 12 homes damaged in Lawrence County, multiple roads closed due to downed trees and power lines. And so far, let's see, 17 injured. I'm not seeing any reports of deaths, thankfully, which is hard to believe. And we'll see if that changes throughout the course of the day. But then as that moved into Alabama, kind of between us and Thomasville, I don't know if it went as far north as Grove Hill, but it brought some heavy rain, too. And Mount Vernon, Dr. Bill said, picked up seven inches
last night.
Just from midnight on. And then that moved over throughout the morning towards and into Atmore.
And now it looks like the panhandle, if you look at the... We've got the Weather Channel on now. Dalton kind of popped that up mid-morning, and it looks like the panhandle right now is kind of code red, and South Georgia as well. They're the ones now in the crosshairs of that particular storm, but not as many storms are behind that one, but we do have a lot more rain on the way.
So that system even affected the State House yesterday in Montgomery with this special session called that began a couple days ago, and they were able to get the votes through for these special primaries. The reason they called this special session, the House voted through the special primaries, if necessary, for districts 6 and 7, which don't affect us as much, but 1 and 2. And if the court overturns the initial ruling in that Allen case, then we'll have special primaries down the line with no runoff. Whoever wins the popular vote in those primaries will be the candidate for their party. So we'll see how that checks out. But also the state Senate was voting through their bill on the state Senate districts. And there would be two districts with a special primary, not in our area as well. But they actually voted with alarms blaring in the background.
That's
because
crazy.
With that rain moving through Montgomery, it ended up flooding the that first floor of the state house. And, you know, they were supposed to be done with the state house because this was the last legislative session there. They're going to move into the new state house for the next session, but not so fast, my friend. You guys have to come back. And they ended up leaving yesterday. Also a bit of a medical scare, I guess, with Alabama State Senator Vivian Figures from down here in our neck of the woods. While all of that was going on, she ended up being evaluated for a medical emergency and has since returned home and is resting comfortably.
So Mobile did play a role in all this. So the vote was 75-29. The Alabama House of Representatives approved the bill by Speaker Pro Tem Chris Pringle, right here in Mobile, Republican, to hold that special election in four of Alabama's seven congressional voting districts under a plan state lawmakers approved in 2023. That was ruled unconstitutional by federal judges in Birmingham in the case Allen v. Milligan. So now what? You know, we're asking the same questions. We don't really have all the definitive answers. It's just crazy that they had to bring them back. They went ahead and voted. The vote got through. And at the same time, we had these storms affecting Mississippi and then Montgomery itself, the capital of the state of Alabama, where they had a, you know, people that wouldn't run for the hills, but something close to it, right?
Yeah. And so we'll see. I know Attorney General Steve Marshall wanted them to quickly, you know, respond to this appeal to overturn that federal court ruling over these districts. I haven't seen any word come down yet that they're moving with any quickness as far as that's concerned. But, you know, we're not the only state going through this, too. There's several states where these primaries are kind of up in the air right now in those district lines. And I thought what State Representative Rhett Marcus, his kind of the way he's been handling the talks of this redistricting, the way that District 1 is set up works perfectly for Marcus. I mean, he grew up in Baldwin County, and he's an enterprise man now.
Tailor-made. It's tailor-made for him to win the vote.
And that's exactly what he said when we interviewed him, right? And that he was like, well, I kind of don't mind this at all. And yesterday, you know, he's still a state representative, obviously. He abstained from that House vote that Dan's been talking about, in his words, to avoid a conflict of interest since he's running in that race.
Yeah.
But he said if he would have voted, he would have voted no, not because he doesn't want to see that district change, but he wants to see all seven congressional districts in Alabama be redrawn to give Republicans a chance to hold all seven rather than six Republican-friendly congressional districts.
Yeah, there's a number of Republicans that are looking at this like, okay, if we're going to redraw, let's redraw 7-0, which reminds me a little bit of some of the northern states where Republicans are completely shut out, like in Massachusetts.
And Jeff referenced this yesterday. Jeff Poor did when we had him on, and then on his show again. You have State Senator Donnie Chesteen, who
Wiregrass, right?
Yeah, and he thinks that they could do seven. Let me see his exact. So he was on another radio show. I think it was, and I can't remember the name of the show. It's up in the northern part of the state. He actually, this was on a forum, but he also had a radio conversation too. He thinks that the Sewell district is already becoming more purple, and that they can draw it in a way that maybe it wouldn't be an outright slam dunk for Republicans, but it would at least give them a fighting chance election in and election out, so that it's not a true blue district. I don't know exactly how they'll go about this, because if they revert to the 2023 map, that's the 6-1,
yep.
I believe. Yep. And have to wait to see, because all of this depends on what the ruling is from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Republicans, I don't know, we'll see. I don't know that they're going to have the appetite to go that far to try to make it 7-0. They might be satisfied with the 6-1. That's just me off the top of my head, and also just from the tea leaves out of Montgomery, where conservatives are right now, the way Republicans vote and the way they don't mind throwing Democrats a bone every now and then up there.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep the peace.
And I know we have texters, we have listeners that don't like that at all, and feel that many of these Republicans in the state are kind of weak-willed. Would a 6-1 do it for you, or do you want to see all seven districts redrawn to give Republicans chance to have the whole state, mm-hmm. even if that creates some further legal issues down the road. Let us know. 251
hard feelings.
Or 251-343-0106.
822, Dan and Dalton. What's going on, y'all? We're going to be in it for a while with this rain. I'm heading out of town tomorrow, but for all of you here along the Gulf Coast, it doesn't look like things are going to brighten up at all until maybe Monday. 822, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
827, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Maybe before the mornings out, we'll get around to passing of Ted Turner. What a legacy he had.
Yeah. Some interesting stories from his life,
yes,
too.
Yes, indeed. The Atlanta Braves and the Superstation and the way that affected baseball and the Braves... And the Braves, primarily, what he did for the how the Atlanta Braves became kind of a nationwide brand.
Mm-hmm. And Trump commenting on CNN and when he sold it and all that stuff. To the text line, we're asked, what do you want to see in this redistricting? You want to see the Republicans go for all seven districts or just six and one? Keith in Agricola says he wants to see Bama go seven Republican, no Democrat, and Mississippi all four. Jason says, I say go for the 7-0. Why would anyone on the right be okay with giving them what's basically an affirmative action candidate? If Republicans screw this up, they lose all credibility, in my opinion. Roy in Spanish Fort says, go 6-1 using the 2023 map. Yes, 7-0, no. What Tennessee did, hell no. And community of interest, no slivers. That's Roy in Spanish Fort. Tennessee, they're trying to take that congressional district. That's something
good luck
to
there.
Keep an eye on. CB Carl, referencing your story you gave us there, Dan, he said, good morning, guys. Dan, I was a skinny kid. Before I grew big enough to be considered tough, crazy served me well. And
it's a card to play.
We regale these stories, too. We mentioned getting injured while playing with the kids, like that Cubs pitcher did yesterday. Paul from Eastern Shore says, sliding down a slide on an inflatable jumpy house, broke my big toe and screamed like a schoolgirl. He said, have you ever tried limping in a jumpy house?
Oh,
that seems like that would be difficult to do. But those big toes, man, they snap at the worst possible times.
So your grandfather's big toe,
right foot, at the
joint, just snapped?
Well, this was probably 25 years ago at this point. I remember it was gruesome. I don't remember exactly where the break took place, but it looked like a wide receiver's fingers, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Texter here says, I believe that the local police and Baldwin County Sheriff's Office should begin punitive enforcement activities aimed at these incompetent Baldwin County drivers. The drivers in Baton Rouge are better. Illegal left-hand turns, impeding traffic, failure to signal, distracted driving, and a general lack of sense used to be common sense. I take it you don't like the drivers in Baldwin County there.
I take it they're from Baton Rouge originally, and they're trying to say, in comparison, Baldwin County is a little more dangerous.
8:30, we'll talk with Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap on the way. Keep those texts coming, 251-343-0106.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, we'll get to Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap here in just a second. Jason let us know traffic sitting still, 65 northbound at the Dolly Parton Bridge. Both lanes sitting still, and he's unable to see the cause of that stalled traffic so far. I'll let you know if we can find out what exactly has halted traffic 65 northbound there at the Delta Bridge, but we'll let you know. Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap joins us. He's doing the yeoman's task of covering this special session with the flooding and the filibustering and all that good
illnesses.
Stuff. Illnesses. Hey, Kyle, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing good, Kyle.
Good deal. This has been a truly, this is a special session that could be from the book of Genesis. I mean, there is floods and folks getting sick, and it took a bizarre turn there.
Yeah, I had a story number one on our three big things, and I genuflected when I started the story because it's got kind of a biblical or churchy feel to it. The vote was 75-29. Explain, if you can, the best that you can, to all of us. What's going on?
Yes, yes. And this is a very complicated legal wrangling that we have here. I'm going to do the best that I can. Mm-hmm. So the current congressional voting district maps, which have split Mobile and Baldwin counties, were put in place by some federal judges in Birmingham in 2023, believe,
mm-hmm.
to
That's
be
right.
used in the 2024 election.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court's ruling last week in the Louisiana Calais case has kind of called those maps into question here, on the grounds of the Voting Rights Act, and we've called this special session while the lawyers for the state try to get those maps, these current maps, overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bills going through the House and the Senate now are successful, if the courts overturn those maps, then there would be a special primary for congressional districts 1, 2, 6, and 7. So mm-hmm. that would be the two ones down here on the coast. All of the votes that are currently being cast by absentee ballot would be thrown out, and there would just be a whole new election that would start up with the 2023 map that the legislature drew that was ruled unconstitutional by the judges. That map has Mobile and Baldwin in District 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what the game is here. The one for the congressional districts, that bill by Chris Pringle went through the House yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one in the state Senate to deal with like two districts in the Montgomery part of the state,
right?
And that's going to be in the House on Friday. That's what we're trying to do here, and I believe there's a deadline for this afternoon in the federal court to get some briefs going and to possibly get a ruling in on this case. But it doesn't seem that the federal judges are really into the speed that the state has set here for this matter.
Yeah. So the Attorney General on Tuesday, he filed another motion basically asking them to get on the ball on this, Kyle, and to act quickly. I know he wanted them to review it by yesterday afternoon, but you're saying there's a deadline with it. And it's not just Alabama kind of going through this right now. Mm-hmm. And obviously the midterms are right around the corner. It's a lot of stuff that needs to be decided in a quick amount of time.
Right. And Steve Marshall called for that deadline, I believe, at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. yesterday. And the court said, well, we're going to actually go until about, I believe, 6 or 7 on Thursday. So we'll see kind of what their ruling is here. Just in my view of it and how I've been covering this case since it was going on in 2023 and 2024, I'm not so sure that the state is going to get the result that it would like to see here, because this case would go back before the exact same people who created the current congressional maps that we have now. The Supreme Court said in the Louisiana case that their ruling does not affect the Milligan case, the Allen case. But the politics are fluid here, and things could change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big unknown here. But what the legislature is going to do is they're going to get this plan in place to have a special primary if things fall the way that they want them to.
Yeah, and let's talk about the political atmosphere in Montgomery right now. It's just as unsteady as the actual weather yesterday in Montgomery.
Yeah.
We've seen some protests up there and then a lot of filibustering from the Democrats leading all the way up to, you know, they voted in that that Senate Bill 1 for the state Senate special primaries, voted as the alarms were blaring.
Yes.
For them to get out of the state house as it was flooding.
Yes.
So pretty wild up there when you consider all the protests and everything going on.
It is. And all of these votes have been along on party lines. The 75 to 29 or 28 was in the House. Hadn't seen the Senate's voting numbers yet,
party
but I
line.
Believe that those are along the party line.
Yeah.
Folks are very interested in this, and it would create a lot of confusion, too, if these special votes were to go into effect. I mean, because folks are already turning in their absentee ballot. That's what Probate Judge Mark Irwin here in Mobile told me a few days back, and it's not something that we've really seen go on here, where you know we have a primary that's underway now, and then there would be a new one that would take place without a runoff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
whoever wins that would take the whole thing, and also the people currently running would have to court some new voters too, because the districts would be redrawn. Shamari Figures in mm-hmm. District 2 is the only Democrat on the ballot, so he doesn't have a primary challenge here. But if the old maps were to be brought back, he would not have Mobile to run in, and he would be running like in the Wiregrass only.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhett Marcus, like y'all have mentioned previously, would be running in Mobile and Baldwin without the
mm-hmm.
the Wiregrass. So it would be quite confusing, but we'll see how it all goes.
Well, also, how about the fact that Dalton had the story yesterday that this all trickled down to even Mobile City Council, where Corey Penn
yes.
spoke out against this in the council meeting on Tuesday.
Yes, that's right. He was wondering why we're doing this, you know, kind of, and he raised some questions about the representation. He kind of kicked things off, and then District 2 Councilwoman Samantha Ingram had like a few things to say, not really much, and then Council President Seeps. C.J. Small just kind of did like a little nod to it. So
yeah,
it kind of got less and less as they went down the line. But it's definitely an issue that has people talking and watching what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, I know we'll continue to follow your coverage of that special session, which seems to be extra special this year. Another story you wrote here that really caught my eye. Two different stories about the economic future of Mobile. And you mentioned...
Mm-hmm.
This economist with PNC, who was in town, I guess, for the he's with the PNC Financial Services Group, a private event for their clients, along with some other people. He gave much mm-hmm. more of a grim view of the future of Mobile's economy compared to former Congressman Bradley Byrne, who now, of course, leading the Mobile Chamber. Talk a little bit about what Hawkins had to say.
Absolutely. Well, and he had just reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm coming into town, do you want to hear what I think about the economy? And I was like, yeah, let's see what you think. And like right from the get, he said, well, it's not great. And the rest of the conversation that followed was just about how large our manufacturing part is, which is good with the Airbus and Austal stuff that's going on. But he said, because the manufacturing has grown so much that the other parts of our economy have declined, and that they're not quite where that they should be. And he said that the growth in the manufacturing is not enough to offset the other weaknesses in the economy, with like trade and some logistics, banking.
Yeah.
And he even went so far as to say that Mobile would be an underperformer in the entire South.
Wow.
And yeah. And after I heard that, I was like, well, I'm going to need a wow. That's a bad word there. I'm going to need some second opinions here.
Get a counterpoint. So
Yeah. Is it really this bad? And you know, I've talked to Bradley Byrne at the Chamber, who actually went to the event that Hawkins spoke at, and he said that he had to keep himself from standing up in the middle of thing and saying that
the guy is wrong.
Yeah. So, but he said that we have great growth that's going on in the manufacturing, and that they are trying to get more diversity in the economy that Hawkins was mentioning there. But, you know, we've had some great growth in healthcare. We've had some great growth in the construction fields. I was like, well, you know, that's a good perspective. So we're going to need one more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this guy that I talked to at South kind of had a little bit of both of them. And he said, you know, we are doing well from an economic standpoint, but we could do better.
You know, and Bradley Byrne at the Chamber, he's obviously, the Chamber has constantly got, you know, talks behind the scenes, negotiations,
right,
and conversations going on that we're not aware of it. So I could see that, I could definitely see Byrne sitting in his seat thinking, wait a minute, you don't have the whole mm-hmm. picture here, where Bradley mm-hmm. might have thought that he had more of the information that would have supported his claim, right?
Right. And he did have some good information too. And what was really funny was he used the same sources that the other guy used to kind of disparage the economy here. But yeah, it's an interesting story, and you know, kind of read it and see who
you believe.
You think is right, because I tend to think that it's a bit of both.
Yeah, it seems,
you know,
to always
got some good things, but yeah, it could be better
somewhere in the middle. Yeah, and
absolutely.
Let's talk too, while we're talking special elections, a very special voting process going on as of yesterday afternoon. The finals for the nappies officially underway. VoteNappies.com. Now, this is
absolutely
always a big event year over year. We're always glad to be a part of it, and we've already told people this morning to vote for FM Talk 106.5. But VoteNappies.com, it's a big deal.
Absolutely, absolutely. The voting opened yesterday afternoon at 3, and within the first half hour, we already had tens of thousands of votes cast. There is, you know, this is a big moment for Mobile here. We got all kinds of great people, places, and things to vote for, your favorites. The interest is high, so you need to head to votenappies.com. But before you do that, you also need to get you a subscription to Lanyap Daily at lanyapmobile.com. That's really what you need to do.
Yeah. Good stuff. Kyle, man, we appreciate the work you put in day in and day out, and letting us know what's going on around here and around the state. And if folks want to follow you, they can see your work there at Lanyap. Any other ideas for if people want to keep up with what you're writing?
Well, you know, you can tune into this fine radio spot here.
Yeah.
And lanyapmobile.com, that's the best place to find me.
Kyle, thanks a bunch for your time pinch hitting for Rob. Bit of an upgrade,
absolutely,
I'll be honest with you.
Well, you know, it's nice to have some variety.
You just put Kyle in a tough spot there.
Yeah, I did, and he acted like it. Hey, Kyle, we'll talk again soon, and have a great week, okay?
All right, same to y'all.
All right, Kyle Hammer.
I can't wait for that sterling article to come out about me now in Lanyap. Rob will be behind me.
Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. We'll come back, hit the rest of these texts, let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Porter Show as the rain comes down at our studio. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, 855. Mobile Mornings said the Braves had an afternoon game yesterday in Seattle, and much of the broadcast was a tribute to Ted Turner, who passed away yesterday morning, and of course, famously owned the Braves, and he bought them for $10 million, all that cost him in the late 70s.
So he bought TBS first in 75, bought the Braves.
And they merged them.
Threw them on TBS.
Threw them on TBS.
I read, and I think I'd heard this before, but then I forgot it. And then I read it again yesterday, that after Turner bought the Braves, this was all pre-CNN, but after he bought them, there was a, allegedly, it's kind of an urban legend, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was a safe left in the park that had not been opened, full of concession money from before he owned the Braves.
Yeah.
And that there were at least hundreds of thousands of dollars in there, if not millions.
And the other owners left it behind?
Yeah, from concession funds, from people coming through and buying. And that was enough for a Braves franchise that was pitiful, I guess.
They were terrible.
Turner bought them.
Yeah.
For them to at least break even that first year of him buying them.
Wow.
Safe full of money down there. Yeah.
Yeah, they were bad. They were bad. You know, after he bought them, they were on TV, but they weren't really, and they were on TV. A lot of the owners weren't crazy about this, that he had that superstation and with the satellite technology, I guess, and he was the first one to do that. And so the Braves games were on in all these markets across the country.
Yeah.
The other owners were not happy about that. But even like yesterday, when they were interviewing people in the park in Seattle, and people, so many had Braves, you know,
merch,
paraphernalia on. And they wear it proudly. And most of those people were like from there.
Mm-hmm. So from Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, and in Tacoma and Montana, wherever. You know, they were from the Northwest. And they were like, no, we've never been to Atlanta. They just got hooked on the Braves. Like their dad got hooked on the Braves, and he passed it along. And so that's why when the Braves play wherever they play, you see all these jerseys. And it's not necessarily people who, like, grew up in Atlanta and moved. That could be the case in some instances, but mostly it's just people that grew up there.
The Cubs had a similar thing with WGN,
they
right?
did.
So yeah, fans did. All over the country because of that.
Yep.
Chris says, a friend of mine sent me this yesterday, RIP Ted Turner, funeral begins at 7:05. And a nod to so
that's
many of
pretty
them.
Good.
Had to watch TBS to get this said.
That's pretty good.
Texture here, heavy rain, strong wind in downtown Mobile and on the Bayway. Yeah, we're getting some light rain here at 65 and Airport, not like what you're seeing downtown right now. Motorman for the nap. He says, vote Wayne Dean, vote. Wayne, Chief Slack, Wayne Dean up for awesome octogenarian in the Nappies. How about best Mobilian right now? I forgot to mention this. Vote for our guy, John Young. He's up for best Mobilian once again in the Nappies. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he has some guests headed our way, starting with Morgan Murphy in hour number one. April Marie Fogle with 1819 News joins him in the second hour. And then Bradley J with Breitbart in hour number three.
Good guest list. I like it.
Some more texts from you on this redistricting. And Freddie says the state of Alabama is roughly 65% white and 25% black. Representation should follow because you don't have to live in an area to represent it. And because both parties have such a grip on politics, the five Republicans with the most votes statewide choose where those will be placed. Keep these texts coming for Jeff, 251-343-0106.
Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, back with you tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m. on your Friday.